Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. Therefore, I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. In each episode, we'll walk through my expanders, a term in my manifestation formula signaling the people that already embody, have, or are successful in what we are looking to call in. These are the people that we witness through our mirror neurons on a subconscious level that expand us into knowing that our manifestations are possible as well. Especially when we hear about their background, their upbringing, their trials and tribulations, and any of their pitfalls that they had to experience along the way. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifestor that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. So today I want to cover manifestation energetic boundaries because they are so magnetic. Even against the grain of common societal beliefs. I had to learn this at a very young age. Many of you know I talk about this a lot because it's really relevant to my process of understanding my gifts and learning manifestation. My mom has been such a gift in my life to understanding this and how to work with people through manifestation. But my mother became an alcoholic when I was around the age of 11. Before that, she was like the biggest expander in my life. She wasn't quote unquote the best mom because she was too young to know any better, but she's an incredible soul. And growing up, she was just so beautiful and strong and independent. She was very much like a feminist and, you know, it was her way or the highway. So she truly made me understand my first lesson of self-worth creates magnetism. But then I saw her go through addiction. And it's so fascinating because it happened to every one of my maternal side family members at the age of 27. So right around their Saturn return. And it's not a coincidence that I also got sick right around 27. So it was another way to isolate myself, but it wasn't through the form of addiction. It was that I can't eat like normal people. I can't drink and I can't, you know, all these things. But I want to talk about boundaries because my mom taught this to me better than anything else energetically. Number one, we can't manifest for others. So that's already a beautiful release, but also such a disappointment at the same time, because boy, if we could manifest for the people we love, if we could help them, if we could speed up their process, it would be great for them, but it's also selfishly for us. But we can't. There's no way. Every one of us are souls that chose this path and this body, and we are very much on our own route. So I learned very early on, you can't manifest for others no matter how hard you try. But boundaries are everything. The first boundary I want to talk about is what I call manifestation boundary. I talk about this a lot, but if you're just tuning in, this is very helpful for you. A lot of motivational books or goal-oriented books will tell you, as soon as you have an idea, share it with others because they'll hold you accountable and you're speaking it into existence, or you have to be actionable because you've finally shared this. When it comes to this process of manifestation, I could not encourage you more to actually not share with people what you're up to, because your authentic essence knows what it's here to do. And a lot of us don't tend to be right on the path we're supposed to be. That's why we experience things like tests or setbacks, or we don't have what we want or what our soul desires. We haven't materialized it yet. So the moment that we do get the download, the intuitive download of what to do next, or that great idea, whether it's in work or it's a place to move or love or something for ourselves or expressive, and we tell people and it goes against the societal norm, or it goes against what we're doing that creates safety in our life right now, just out of pure love, they're going to try to hinder us from it. Most often than not always. You might, you know, have wonderful people around that are your cheerleaders. Those are the great people to share with. But the people that it triggers their own fears and fear of you out of love, they will maybe try to deter you. So it's actually better to share by doing, by actually manifesting what you want. And a great place to share is in community of the Secret Society, which you can find right on our front page. It's the Facebook group. That's a group that's all here to do the same thing, so they're going to support you. But you have my full permission to not share. And then the duality side of that, the shadow side, is that some people may be envious that you're actually going out to pursue your authenticity, and they might try to hinder you that way as well. So I just want to give you that licensing. The second that I want to talk about that creates some of the most magnetism in your life are energetic boundaries. And this is a huge, huge gift I'm about to give you, because it goes against everything that society says. So your energetic space, it's your manifestation space. Some people refer to it as the aura, the bodies, you know, the energetic body. That is your space. Your life is your space. If we think back to MySpace back in the day, that is your life. And you get to control who comes in and out of it and what energy is in and out of it. The more you have energy in it that's trying to shame you, make you small, isn't empowering you, isn't believing in you, supporting you, that is all energy that's considered a block inside of your aura or your energetic space. And you need to clear that in order to create literally a pathway for what you want to come through. Also, the moment that you clear it, if you have been settling or you've been buying into the belief systems of what's being projected to you, you've been small, therefore you're not in alignment with what you want. The moment you start to let that go and do the work through reparent, through shadow, through the formula of magnetism or the daily reprogramming exercise, you're going to start to build up that magnetism to also connect with what's wanting to come through. This, I don't care. I mean, some of you kind of got to witness this with me lately. I don't care what society is telling you needs to be in your life, what's right and wrong. This is your space. It's your energetic space. What anybody does in their own space is their thing, but energy doesn't get to come into your space and make you feel shameful, make you feel small, unsupported. It's got to go. So the big tip I want to give you today to create instant magnetism, literally right this moment, is to start clearing your space. The workshop that actually deals with clearing your space is Unblock No on an energetic level and a physical level. It makes you go through and take inventory of everything in your space that needs to go to create that pathway. But how to actually build up your subconscious worth would be through the other workshops that I mentioned. And the formula magnetism is actually what shows you how to manifest, how to create your list, how to go about it, how to find expanders, how to pass lessons and tests, all that whole shebang. Examples of this with clients. So family sometimes is a huge infringement in our space, just because it's not their fault. They don't have the tools, or they haven't done the work, or they just aren't meeting us with where we are. That needs to be, you know, energetically spaced out. Social media is a great example of this. So many of us continue to follow people because we feel we have to, or you know, what would they think if we stopped? You know, and we continue to put in our energetic field all of these things that don't make us feel good, or they trigger us, or they don't have our best interest. It's got to go. If you're on Facebook, if it's political things, or if it's, you know, things that are harmful to other people that don't jive with you, you need to let go, delete, create boundaries. None of that should be around, because your energetic sphere needs to be clear for that pathway. People have a very hard time with this because societally it can create a lot of shadow. you know, the moment that you let a couple of people go on Instagram, or you create space in Facebook, or you're creating this in real life with your family, through your job system, whatever it is, you will sometimes see the rear of other people's shadow. Rejection feels really hard, or and it's not really rejection that's happening. Boundaries are just very hard. Not a lot of us were taught boundaries when we were little. I certainly wasn't taught any boundaries. I'm a recovering and recovered codependent, meaning I grew up with an alcoholic parent, so there's no such thing as boundaries. My emotions don't matter. You know, my wants and needs aren't important. You know, and then building up this onion, this ego shell that I don't need anything. I can take care of myself. I'm independent. So just know that when you do create these boundaries, they may rear some shadow. And here's the really huge tip of creating boundaries that I really want you to know, energetic boundaries, is love the shadow. And what I mean by that is send them love. I know it's so hippie, and but it's really the truth. You just have to, you're choosing what's best for you so you can continue and to flourish on your authentic path and manifest. Therefore, you're actually doing the biggest gift to them possible. You're becoming an expander for them to show them that they're capable of doing the exact same thing, of creating those boundaries, being on their path and manifesting what they want. So if we're just looking from the energetics of manifestation, boundaries are, they are mandatory in this practice. So please take inventory, unblock, no, go through it and see everywhere that needs to be cleared to allow the pathway of what you're wanting to come through. You have my full permission. Please seek support from the Facebook group if you need it, if you're having a really hard time with it, if you're a codependent like me. Boundaries are about the hardest thing on the planet, as is communication, conscious communication. So you have my full support. Boundaries are a mandatory part of manifestation. And the last thing I want to say is they create instant magnetism. Instant. That's how I know that they're so valid and important. The moment you create boundaries of things that aren't serving you, all of a sudden little things come in. I like to say it's the universe going, oh, look who's stepping into their worth. I'm going to throw you a bone. Here you go. Keep doing it. So I just send you a ton of love. You can find Manifestation Boundaries. It's an article that's on the site if you Google that. You can also Google boundaries for anything that comes up on the site. And again, it's Unblock Know that's going to help you actually achieve this. And you have my full permission, my full support, as well as this community and this Facebook group community. And anybody who's not supporting that, we always... it's a very, very, very strong part of our belief system. So we let them go. You know, this place is to support each other only, and for myself included, to you. So I'm sending you love. I'm sending you support through this boundary process. And I hope you enjoy the episode. Geez, guys, I don't know where to start on this one. How would you feel if one of the people in your life who have dramatically changed it on a physical level, how would you feel if you got to sit down and basically ask them everything from their perspective? Well, that's exactly what I got to do with today's guest, Nadine Artemis. Many of you have heard me talk about her on the blog, and you see me posting about her in Instagram videos of how she introduced me to the sun and basically shifted many of the practices I use for hygiene, oral care, interaction with nature and the elements, and we cover all of them. It's a little bit of a different format in this episode because usually we're working through expander stories, and I encourage anybody listening to this episode to find her story of how she got where she is today in every other podcast she's been in, because I decided to utilize this time to literally pick this mastermind's brain. So the way that it's formatted is I go through the top ways and things she's shifted in my life, from no longer wearing bras or underwear to only washing pits in privates to spending a lot more time in the sun, interacting wisely with it without any sun care or, you know, sunglasses. And I mean, it keeps going on about the yoni care to, you know, the way that I now cleanse my face and then I've really moved away from things like laser and exfoliating and, you know, the oral care. I mean, it's dense and she has a lot to inform us on and educate us on. And what I love about Nadine so much that really, really encompassed me when I first discovered her is not only is she this really vast thinking Aquarian who, you know, studied women's anthropology and did her her final thesis on the, you know, female orgasm. She's this really broad thinker, but as a manifesting generator, she's also heavily interested in science journals and the science to back everything up. So that's how she could distill down the purity of medicine, of botanicals that have been on the planet since the beginning of time, and really make them so targeted, so result-based, that it was imperative that I just have her break that down for you. I really hope to have her again soon. I think any woman and potentially man could benefit from this episode. So sit back, kick back, and get ready to have your world totally changed. Welcome to the Expanded Podcast. I'm so, so, so grateful to have you here. And I think a really fun place to start is I'll explain how much you've impacted my life. It's actually very rare that I tune into a lot of what other people are saying. And I've always resonated with everything you've had to share, because not only is it all about interacting with the elements and using nature to heal you and botanicals, but you also are so versed in the science and the studies to back it up. So it's the most beautiful information for all sides. And so just to explain a couple of the shifts I've made in my life, and then I would love to unpack them a little bit with you. The first is that I stopped wearing bras in order to allow the lymph to flow. You know, and I started doing breast massage with the Living Libation massage oil. I also try to not wear underwear when I'm wearing skirts and things, so I can allow the microbiome to breathe and all of that stuff. Sun has been revolutionary in my life. I was the person who was so afraid of being exposed to the sun and being fair. And it was you who allowed me to jump off that cliff and really start to build up my solar callus. And as someone who has autoimmune issues, it has been transformational in my health. And so just to list off a couple more, and then we'll kind of start to unpack them one-on-one. I also right away began your pits and privates model of only bathing or using soap on my armpits and privates in order to allow the microbiome on my skin to feed itself as well as to be to flourish in health and balance. And we've also done full filtration water in the house in order to not have things like chlorine and, you know, gases and all of that stuff disturb the microbiome as much as possible. And last but not least, I love the model of allowing during menstruation for everything to detoxify and come out. So a main tool I use for that are reusable organic pads. And once in a while, I'll use a cup just if I have to swim or any of that. So I just want to preface all of that for the listener, because I really want to break it down while sharing your two incredible books on dentistry, holistic dentistry, as well as the most amazing new book that's been out that I devoured, all about botanicals, beauty, and using the natural elements to essentially incredibly pump up your beautifying routine. So let's start with breast health, no bras. Let's unpack that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a whole lymphatic system there in our breasts. And obviously we think of the orb as the breast, but really, you know, when there's breast imbalances or breast disease or breast cancer, that also happens basically in the armpit or the lateral aspect of the breast. So if people, you can raise your arms right now. And basically from the armpit to that whole breast area is the area that you really want to think about for breast health. And when we wear bras, and there's been some studies to back this up, but it also just is common sense, especially with wires or tight bras with tight elastics, that's cutting off circulation to the area. And then what we're basically creating is a bit of a lymphedema cesspool in the breast during the day, so that toxins gather in our breast rather than being part of that circulatory system. So the lymph system, in very general terms, is moving waste, for lack of a better word, but moving the toxins and stuff away from systems. So the blood, I mean, this is a very basic, you know, terms, but the blood's bringing all the nutrients in and the lymph is helping to move things away. So we always want a circulating lymph system. You know, if your ankles get puffy, that's a sign of a bit of a stagnant lymph system, or glands around the neck getting puffy. So yeah, we want to keep that area in part of our body's flow. So if you take off your bra, or you check right now, if there's any red spots anywhere around the shoulders or the back or the breast, then that is cutting off circulation. So you want to go without as much as possible, and then wear something that's really, you know, friendly. There's so many options now, you know, like organic cotton with like 5% Lycra, kind of a yoga bra, or even like a tank top that has a bit of Lycra can create a bit of support depending on your size. And also, you know, if you think about it too, if you had your arm in a sling, if it got hurt and then you kept it in a sling, eventually that arm's going to atrophy because the muscles aren't being used. Yeah.
I personally have noticed, I think it's been about 2 years now that I haven't, and mine have, you know, in the vein sense of it, have become a lot more perky since. And granted, I am obviously fortunate enough to have, you know, smaller breasts that I can really get away with this in, you know, popular society. What are your tips? Because I know you're somebody who has a fuller cup. What are your tips?
we have to talk
about that. I think you're everyone's aging expander.
I'm on a smaller side. So I feel like, because that's the thing. I know I say all this advice, but again, I am not, I don't even know really bra sizes anymore. I don't even know what mine is, but I'm definitely not into like the double C's and D's and stuff like that. So I do, I'm like, yeah, I don't have that experience, but hopefully you can find a top and a softer bra. They really have been reinventing them, you know, and then, you know, you got to do what you're comfortable with. But we definitely, I mean, some women are like, I'm going to wear a bra at sleep because they think, well, I'm sleeping because they think it's going to help support, but it doesn't. It doesn't help support. So you want to get, you know, them sort of active on their own, you know, which of course you could do like pectoral exercises and that kind of stuff, but it's not the bra that's keeping them up. It's not the bra. The bra's defying gravity while it's on, but it's not helping otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. And the oil is incredible, the Living Libations breast oil. Can you break down the botanicals in it and why it's so beneficial for breaking up that lymphatic stagnation?
I have a really in-depth chapter in Renegade Beauty. So it's sort of on breast health. It's beyond just the formula. But in there, it's great because I can really get into the science where you can't really get into that on a website, you know, due to... Yeah. But the great thing is that essential oils do have monoterpenes in them. And the ones that we've chosen, like frankincense in there, are very rich. And there's been lots of studies done on monoterpenes and how they influence cancer and cancerous cells by inhibiting particular cell signaling pathways and by counteracting metabolic changes that could occur in breast disease. And also the essential oils in there, like grapefruit, have high contents of limonene. And that helps to stimulate estrogen detoxification. It helps to restore hormone balance in the body. And so, you know, in general, the ingredients are helping to detoxify the tissues and get the circulation going.
I love that. Oh, amazing. And let's hear your thoughts on the underwear model as well, while we're on the topics of undergarments, and your research and perspective on the microbiome, the yoni microbiome.
Yeah, the yoni microbiome is a huge area, like a very important area for women. So just to backtrack a little bit, the microbiome is kind of a newer era of study. And I say newer by, you know, the past two decades, science and research has really gone into it. And what we understand now is that the microbiome, which is our collection, our banquet of billions of bacteria in our bodies, and they are essential for the functioning of our hormone, of our communication systems, of our digestive systems, of our immune system, basically every part of our body. So, you know, in the 40s, when we were thinking about germ warfare and we must kill the bacteria, we're in a totally different stage now where we understand that we need the bacteria. We don't want pathogens, but we need a body of bustling bacteria. And the area, and we actually have like about the same amount of bacteria as we have cells. So bacteria is just important as cellular health. And it also understands that bacteria are vital, just like DNA and cells, and their health is vital. So the main microbiome areas are the gut, and that connects to the brain and the skin. The skin microbiome is a huge one. Our oral microbiome is a very important area. And then for women, we have very juicy microbiome in our vaginas. And so a lot of our modern practices, including not just underwear, like hopefully we're all wearing like organic cotton underwear, because our bodies and our vaginal microbiomes really rebel at polyester underwear. I mean, that is, you know, recipe for yeast infection right there.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Not to just segue too much, but I don't know what... You're an Aquarius as well, right, Nathan?
Yes.
I think Sheba told me that. What are you in human design, if you know? I'm always so curious.
Oh, I think I had a generator manifester.
Ah, that makes so much sense because you have so many outlets of interest. And that's a total segue. But I personally, I think it's been since... I noticed this about 7 years ago that I can't wear. I legitimately, my body repels anything that's not 100% of a natural fiber. So if it's not 100% cotton, silk, wool, you know, any of it, if it has even a hint of viscose or anything poly-based, it'll develop this like terrible BO, which I think is a bacterial reaction. What do you know much about that? Breaking it down, and that's usually under the armpit area, but I assume that this same thing is happening as well in any area, especially open areas like the yoni.
Yes. Yeah. And it's going down to like breathability. And if things can't breathe, it's going to change the microbiome of that area. So for sure. I mean, I love vintage clothes so much and I'm usually reworking them, but I have found, you know, I can't handle all the vintage polyesters anymore though.
Absolutely. You know, which came out in the 60s. It's such a bummer. Such a good time.
Totally. I mean, I can do it for things that aren't touching quite to my body. Or if I'm doing a stage thing, I can wear something. It's a bit different for like an hour, you know, because I love to design what I'm wearing. But that being said, you know, for armpits or socks, not that I'm wearing socks that much, or underwear, that has to be 100% cotton. But that's also why, like, if you have smelly feet or body odor issues, or you even think, like, you know, you want a more aromatic yoni, don't wear synthetics in those areas, because, you know, your feet are going to be smellier, your armpits are going to be smellier and all that, because it's all just trapped. It's not breathing. The microbiome's going to start behaving differently.
That makes perfect sense to me. And I love your line. I'm going to be plugging products the whole time because I've essentially told your poor team in Venice.
I love them.
My fiance, I've turned him on to everything as well. But I think we cruise down there like at least once every 2 weeks because I run out of, you know, the oils so quickly. I use them everywhere. And your team's so cool now that because it's hard to find parking there, that I'll call in advance and pay and then they'll run out.
Totally.
It's so sweet. So I am going to be talking about a lot, but I've been using the petal, the yoni, and forgive if I get the names wrong because there's so many and they're
the
so
petal
wonderful.
Soother or the petal?
Yes.
Yeah, I love it.
Can you explain what those products are doing in there, which obviously is very similar to, I'm sure, the breast oil as well in a different way?
Yeah, so we have got three yoni serums and they're all just lovely and do slightly different things. So one is like, I hope I have all the names right. One's the passion petal, something like that.
They're amazing. I love them all.
And that you can use like daily and just like, you know, how we put serums on our face. You just take one drop and, you know, put it along your outer folds and then it helps to keep it moist and has like a slight protective layer against, you know, like tissue, toilet paper, even organic and tree-free, there's still like chemicals and little tiny fibers in it. So it's just good if it's just not, you know, really getting in there. And it also just helps, you know, because we pee all day and all that kind of stuff. It just helps the area, keeps it cool. It works well with the microbiome. And then we have one called Petal Soother and Petal Primer. And those can be used at any time. They're designed for the birth stages, especially the primer. So that's like you're pregnant, you're in the last trimester, and you can start doing the perineum massage, and then that gets the yoni ready for birth, and you know, has traditionally been used by midwives to prevent tears. It's not a guaranteed thing, but it generally really helps when the tissues are really lubricated. So that also can give you a window as to why you might be using a yoni serum on a daily level. It just keeps it juicy, especially because we're not living naturally and we're not going to be going back to that. We're not like squatting, you know, in a skirt and then sitting on sand and all that kind of stuff. And then the petal soother is like I made right after I gave birth. Like literally, you know, the first protocol was literally before I went pee. I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm going to go pee. And you just have a feeling like, I think it might sting. Like you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just put that all over and then everything was really good. And then I also found like a lot of women, you know, they might use ice after they give birth and all that sort of stuff. But if you use the petal soother, I mean, you just don't have to have anything sort of hanging out between your legs except for the oil. And it's very calming. What it's also good for are things, you know, vaginitis or vulvodynia or just like swelling and inflammation in that area. It's just like a nice, it's very cooling. It's a very, got all the cooling oils like yarrow and peppermint and that kind of thing.
I found it to be super magical as well, because my fiance and I, and this is like beyond TMI, but I assume this will go in so many directions, that we used to, because I am so sensitive, obviously, to bacteria, and I'm so conscious of swapping bacteria, and we've done, you know, like yeast protocols together and all that good stuff when we first started having intercourse. But still, there is something about him that can agitate that area for me, the pH of it. And so we were, because we've been trying to get pregnant for quite a bit, and I was finding that I was using a coconut-based lube for it to use the microbial protection. However, I just felt like it was so different than the exact texture of what sperm would be, you know, that it could also be not preventative, but it could make it an extra leap. What I've actually done instead is right after intercourse, I will use the yoni serums.
That's a great idea.
Yes. So allowing it to flow naturally and then using it as an after.
That's perfect. Yeah. And there is, when we're melding, you know, there's just different things at different times. And, you know, even for oral sex, then there's a whole other set of, you know, just microbes. So it is good where you have that, because there can just be minor irritations afterwards, you know, just even depending on, you know, your bladder and all that kind of stuff. So, but that's interesting you bring that up, because I also write about, because it was fascinating, they've done studies on lubes. And this is the other thing, like we really have to think about what we're putting in our vaginas, which is basically... you know, I don't think you should be putting much up there. Just how you said, like, you're just using a cup for swimming. I think that's really smart. You just want to have those moments, but you don't want to be using spermicides. You really don't. And you don't want to be like KY jelly. So that was really interesting, because, you know, there's a thing with glycerin. It seems like it's older and it's sort of natural. It's semi-natural, but it's still really processed. But what we don't understand is that it actually causes a thing called osmolarity, which creates imbalanced water in the cells. So when it's applied to the outside, the cell releases its water. And what they found was, with people that were using glycerin-based lubes, is that the cells in their yoni were, when they looked at them under microscope, they were shriveled like raisins.
Then
what was happening in neonies is that then there was more cells sloughing off, and that sexually transmitted diseases were being able to be passed back and forth easier. And so
it's compromising.
And it creates sperm immotility.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then I was looking at
that makes perfect sense.
Totally. And then you've got all these people, you know, trying and there's so many things to think about. So then I was looking at like, well, what helps sperm motility? And there are, you know, different oils and that kind of stuff is one reason why we made the Venus lube. So we also have some love lubes, love butters and stuff, but we made the Venus lube to, again, it's not going to necessarily make you fertile, but it won't inhibit fertility.
Like absolutely. And just create an environment that's more beneficial. Yeah. I love that. All right, let's get into my favorite topic to listen to you talk on. It's my favorite, and it has been literally the most transformational in my health and my beauty, is sun. And obviously, common society has such a fear of it. And if anybody hasn't listened to the episodes on Rewild Yourself podcast with Nadine, Wise Interaction with the Sun, also your book is incredible for this, Renegade Beauty. I just would love for you to share any information and unpack this any way you would like for these listeners.
For sure. Well, I'm so happy. And, you know, just as I was writing the book, to really, you know, dedicate a whole chapter and get all those studies and everything in there, because I understand that when we're, you know, debunking some myths and then moving into a new paradigm, we want to really cover it from all the angles so that we can confidently move into that new area, which in this area is really enjoying our relationship to the sun, which has really, it's been so crazy the past like 60 decades, I would say, where it's really changed our belief in the sun. Whereas just prior to that, around the turn of the century, I mean, prior to that, obviously we've had, you know, centuries of being okay with the sun. It actually became a bit out of fashion in the Dark Ages, which is kind of funny. It became like a, you know, seemingly against religion to enjoy the sun, just put
Absolutely.
It very mildly.
Even Victorian times, you
totally
think about that.
Yeah. Oh, it was the Renaissance and the Enlightenment that helped bring sunshine back. And then what you're getting in sort of that European cultures is early what some people call like a hygienist movement. And so it's just people sort of kind of a resurgence of getting back to the land, just like the Enlightenment was, and then people caring for their bodies in different ways, even though they're looking at the ancient ways. And it was about enjoying the sun again. And you're getting like spas and different doctors saying, hey, we need to cure people by going out in the sun. Then you have the 1902, where you have the Nobel Prize given for sun therapy, known as heliotherapy. And then other doctors take that work of the Nobel Prize winner, which was Dr. Niels Feinsen, into their work. And then people like Dr. Rollier and other, I have quite a few, I have these turn of the century sun books, and they are, I always love popping them open.
I've researched this since I've heard you speak about it. Like these incredible, that Dr. Rollier founded the hospital, which I assume you're getting into. I mean, these before and afters are unbelievable.
So amazing. And just Google that for the images. Which you look up Dr. Rollier and Lysine, which is Lysine, I believe, Switzerland. And you can see some before and afters of children. So they're there for months and doing sun therapy. And you can just see like, deformed spines with like tuberculosis wounds and rickets. And then they're sitting up straight and they have a healthy tan and the wounds are all closed. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then, a lot of books were coming out at that time. I have one I just picked up in my hand. It's called Sunlight as Healer. Anytime I open it, I'm always just thrilled. And I opened it the other day with my son and I was like, oh my God, how did I not have this quote in my book? So I'll have to find it.
I have to pick this up. We'll definitely be putting it in the show notes because, yes. I mean, if you can find it, I know a lot of these are actually trickier to find.
Yeah, like I have a really, it's like my copy is like from, it's the original and it's totally falling apart.
Wow.
Yes, so amazing. We also, I'm going to look for that quote as we're talking, but we really, like it's essential to life on the planet. It's essential to our bodies and our skin, which we think we got to protect from the sun. Our skin was literally designed to be exposed to the sun's rays. Literally designed for that, with thousands of vitamin D receptors.
So I'm quickly interrupting this incredible conversation, which I'm sure is bringing massive expansion your way, to share that this is a little secret offering just for you guys who are loyally tuning into this podcast. You won't find this on the blog or social media or anywhere else, but we're offering you 10% off with the code EXPANDED. That's capital EXPANDED to sign up for any course on our site and receive 10% off. And so that goes for the formula in magnetism. If you're sitting there wondering how exactly do I manifest, it's your step-by-step process. It also goes towards any of the Unblock series, all of which I always like to say help to pump up your magnetism, with Reparent and Shadow being the most important that every manifester should treat themselves to. And also the roadmaps, which are for the people who are just joining in and don't have the luxury of being able to have a session, or for the people who want to take the programs they already have far deeper in a way more navigated terrain. So enjoy that code, expanded, all caps, and we're so excited to have you as a part of this community. Make sure to also tune in to Supported for extra support weekly when you have questions. Unfortunately, because that's a subscription program, we can't offer a code off on that, but it's there for you and it's cheaper than a pack of gum every month. And I made it that way for myself when I was absolutely broke and had zero support in my life so that it could be accessible for anyone. Last but not least, I hope you're enjoying the episode, and please share any manifestations that are coming from doing these workshops simply using the hashtag FNManifestations.
And you're probably familiar potentially with Dr. Jack Cruz, the neurosurgeon who's a huge proponent of talking about this and the mitochondria health. And I love an analogy that he uses, that we're the only life that comes out of, you know, our mother's vagina, and then we put essentially something over to block us from the sun. We're the only one. And if you look at something like the analogy he loves to give is, if you take a tree, once it sprouts and, you know, it's growing, and you put a tarp over it, how well is it going to perform in health? So I love that you say that, because I've even heard you say that there was a point in our evolution where we lost hair in order to have more access to the sun.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. And we need to keep evolving with the sun and filling up our vitamin D receptors with the sunshine. So we can, you know, and that's, so we have a lot of studies now that really show that we need vitamin D. Like, just breast cancer risk is slashed by 50% by having ample amounts of vitamin D. And now we all have access to the supplement. So some people, you know, think, okay, great, I'll just take the supplement and then I won't need to be in the sun. Because we're afraid of wrinkles and diseases coming from the sun. But my book really goes into debunking all of that into great detail. And so, we can't just take it, because we need the vitamin D, but we need the sun's vitamin D, because it's a different type of vitamin D that's created. It's a water-soluble vitamin D that's created when we interact with the sun. And vitamin D is this precursor hormone. It's like this liquid lube. It actually lubricates us from the inside. It's essential to our innate immune system. It's essential to creating antimicrobial peptides that then feed the microbiome. And I've got great quotes too about, you know, doctors that are talking about how it heals acne, it heals eczema, that it plumps the skin from the inside out. And so it's like all these different versions now where we think, okay, we're going to avoid the sun, we're going to use artificial fillers, and then we're going to spray on dihydroxyacetone for spray on tan.
While going into chlorine.
Yeah, so welcome to planet Earth. So it's a little bit silly. And really what's happening when we're using sunscreen is that it's separating the UVA and the UVB rays. And we're only receiving UVA. And UVA on its own, without its other spectrums, which we haven't even named all the spectrums, but, and when it's without the ultraviolet B, then that, just the UVA, can be what causes sun damage on the skin. So we're sitting out, we're in the sun, putting on sunscreen, which is not allowing us to receive any vitamin D, because the vitamin D comes from the UV. B ray. We're turning off our skin's alarm system, which is essentially the skin turns red when you need to go out of the sun. And you know what I mean? So we're shutting all that down, not to mention all the chemicals that we're putting into our endocrine system, or that the main chemical oxybenzene is not carcinogenic until it's exposed to sunlight.
Oh man.
And is now understood to be the main ingredient that is like killing the coral reefs. So we don't exactly want that on our body.
And thank God for Hawaii that just outlawed that. I mean, it's unreal.
Yes, it's amazing.
And I love, too, the perspective of obviously the other blockers of UVB or, you know, glass. So sitting in your car, you know, that's where sunspots can develop very easily because, again, we're blocking our natural sun protection receptors. You know, and the other thing that I guess what we can get into a little bit about this, because even myself first hearing this was a little afraid. You know, I've been so programmed through society and being fair skinned that this is the, you know, the biggest ager of all time, the potential of cancer, which, you know, I'll let you break down a little bit more. But I really trusted it as I started to Google and see these results from the heliotherapy. And then hearing you speak about it multiple times and hearing Dr. Jack Cruz and actually seeing a couple of my friends who have completely healed themselves from every autoimmune through literally the elements of meaning that they were earthing back on the earth. They were using the sun, so sun therapy, heliotherapy, drinking clean water, being exposed to clean water, and eating only local foods. And so through that, it was expansive enough for me to start giving this a shot. And the way that I started was just very slow, like you suggest, because I am fair skin. It was just, you know, being out in the sun for a little while. And I started to actually very quickly, because I am so in tune with my body, understand how it was responding, when it got red, when it felt hot. You know, we have to build up the solar callus. So, and I really started with those early morning hours, the infrared, you know, ray hours, which is what you talk about, is, you know, sunrise and sunset with sun gazing. And then I started to move into more of the middle hours of the day. And now I try to do what I call sun breaks. I take myself out often throughout the day. And again, I'll have a piece of fruit as I'm eating it, just naked out in the sun until my body communicates that it's hot. And then I go back in.
Yeah.
Once my skin gets wet, I go back in. I wear a hat if it's a little too hot for my face at the time. In those evening hours, I don't wear a hat, you know. And so if you want to talk about any of that and the cancer rhetoric that exists around it, I'm a full convert now.
Yes.
I'm full, and it has been unbelievably beautifying. My skin looks plumper. It looks beautiful. It whitened my teeth. It whitened my eyes, because as you talk about, it's a blood purifier. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you dig in.
Indeed, it is a blood purifier, and its action on the bones is just so key. Vitamin D in our bones are, you know, that's the marriage made in heaven there. I know we think just skin and that kind of stuff, but the sun is so needed for our bone growth, which is why being in the sun can cure rickets, which is a vitamin D deficiency, which we think of as an older disease, but we really have a lot of diseases right now that are vitamin D deficient, from cavities to arthritis. All of that are related. And your advice was totally great. You do. You want to start it slowly. You want to start in the morning hours, going till about solar noon, which for a lot of places is 1 o'clock. And then again, working with the sun towards the end of the day. And I think, you know, a lot of people really fear their face in the sun because it's seen as this wrinkle thing. So just, you know, sure, wear a hat, work with your, if you expose the whole rest of your body, that's great. But really, and then maybe you can start, you know, trying to trust your sun in the skin. But I find like it definitely needs less time in the sun, you know, because my thigh, for example, can absorb a lot more sun before my cheeks would get burnt a little bit red or that kind of thing. But I've really been working on this sun thing for, I'd say, now I get it. It's got to be part of my mission in the spring. You know, that's where I really build up my base. By July, I'm probably not really tanning because it's so hot. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, working up again, you know, August, September, trying to go as much as I can till November because we have winter here. So I'm starting as soon as I can, like by March. I even open up my sliding glass doors and just lie on my floor.
I've started to do as well. Yeah. I love that.
And then working on it that way. And I'm going to say, since I've gone into it deeply, I've definitely noticed a change in my immune system and that sort of thing. And it has not changed my skin in that classic way. Like, you know, there's no age spots or there's none of that classic stuff. Where that can come in, though, is, I mean, if you are eating a very standard North American diet and you're eating a lot of Mazola and canola and Coca-Cola, you know, your relationship to the sun will be a bit different, and it could, there could, because those interactions, you know, if you're baking in chemicals as you're sitting in the sun, then the effect on your skin is not going to be the same. But the studies that I have, which come from, you know, The Lancet and very prestigious medical journals, really show, and some of them are from Cochrane Reviews, where they're pulling together a lot of studies and then giving the highlights. Really, it shows that sunscreens seem to be helping one go down the path of moles, freckles, skin diseases.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I can definitely now trace back to a lot of my upbringing around that. And now witnessing a full spring and summer being, I mean, immersed in the sun and unafraid of the sun, I don't have another one. Yeah. So I just really wanted to touch on that. I think it's so important. And again, Nadine's book, Renegade Health, is perfect for this. Rewild Yourself. I love that podcast episode. And I know Luke, and I loved your podcast episode with him as well, touching on the sun. So thank you. Now, I think one that people don't think about a lot, but it is like the quickest thing you can integrate within your regime right now. And it also saves hygiene time, is the Pits in Private model. I love that. Can you explain that?
Yeah, again, because we have our microbiome, it's all over our skin. And, you know, soap is a newer thing on the planet. And I mean, like, obviously, soap's been around for centuries, but, you know, it's still a bit newer. Like, oil came first, and cleansing with oil. So soap's really handy, great for scrubbing our nails, washing our hands if we need to, or Pits in Privates. But the rest of our skin doesn't need soap at all, like your thigh, your arm, that kind of stuff, and especially the face. So now that we're studying the microbiome more, we're seeing like what is inhibiting it or mutating the microbes or causing damage. And when we look at the microbiome on the face, it's fascinating. We can see how acne starts, or rosacea, which is related to a Dermadex mite. And then, of course, that's connected to the guts. So our modern skincare systems are generally with tons of surfactants and then different chemicals, which are like an alcohol, which is then stripping away the lipid barrier, stripping away the sebum and the bacteria that are supposed to be on our face. And then that screws up the whole homeostasis of our skin's oasis, including even over-exfoliating, because we actually need some dead skin cells on our face so that the bacteria have something to eat, which all sounds kind of gross, and it's all happening on a micro level. But we want this bacterial banquet to thrive on our skin, and we kind of want to let the bacteria be our beautician. So when it gets out of balance, that's when disorders arise, from melasma to acne to rosacea to even dry skin. So it's all connected. And what we now know about soap and, you know, even mild foaming cleansers is that those surfactants lodge themselves into the very top layer of the skin called the stratum corneum. And those surfactants stay there even after rinsing. So if you've been washing your face for years with a surfactant, that's all still there. And, you know, that long-term use could be causing, you know, just chronic issues that lead to, could be eczema, could just be a dry imbalance, could be more melasma than you're wanting, which is when the skin gets discolored. And so you really want to give up the soap and actually wash with oil, which I know sounds really crazy, especially if you have acne, but when you're using just like a pure jojoba, or we make these blends called Best Skin Ever, and you just wash with that. People used to do their whole bodies. And so you just wet the face, use a squirt of oil. You can put that oil on a cloth, and then you run that over your face or massage it, and then give it a rinse, and then one more squirt for moisturizer. It can literally be that simple. And what you're going to find is the skin's going to be able to rebalance itself. The bacteria are going to get to do the work that they want to do. And, you know, we've had people with decades of acne. You know, sometimes it takes a few months, but for some people, it's like the progress they have with even one night or a week is phenomenal. And so we just want to get out of that sort of squeaky, clean surfactant thing that we've been sold since like the 50s.
I mean, I can attest to this, like testimonial firsthand, in the sense that I was so afraid. I think I've been oil cleansing for years now, but I was so afraid to start cleansing with oil. And I've always had quite normal and balanced skin. But to me, I do come from that general programming of like the Cetaphil to, you know, make it squeaky clean, yeah. You know, that, you know, and it never actually served me, because I do run more on the dry side. And so it was actually an esthetician within our community who said, oh, it's the best kept secret of all time for estheticians is you cleanse with oil. And so I did start and it was so productive. And then it was, I think last year that I moved into the Best Skin Ever Rose and that was great. Then I moved into the Sea Buckthorn. But what's been so transformative for me, being fair and Irish and prone to freckles, is that the frankincense has been revolutionary of wiping out any redness on my face or irritation and really starting to dim any sunspots or freckles I've had. It's been, and so now I use it full body for everything to cleanse my face.
That's awesome. And that is our best skin ever for redness. So that makes
sense. Oh, it's fantastic. All the others were beautiful. They were very hydrating. They were wonderful. But this has been like miraculous for that. Also the doodad, which I cannot rave about enough. If you have, I'm the person who comes from lasers. I come from, you know, trying to bleach out with lemon, sunspots and discoloration. And the doodad is revolutionary, the botanics in that. And at first I was like, there's no way this is going to be effective. And I started to see some testimonials on the site and I was like, I'm going to give it a try. And now I use it as well daily as a spot on certain areas that have it. And the other product that I can't rave about enough for anybody tuning in is the Soother. Is it the Soothsayer?
Oh, yeah, Soothsayer serum.
My God, it makes your skin legitimately satin. What's going on with that product and the doodads for people who are curious?
The Soothsayer is so juicy. Like it, every time I make it, like I make a gallon of it. I'm like, this is so packed with sandalwood and different essential oils. Like we pack our products anyway, but I'm always like, this one is so packed because I really wanted to make that scar healer, that real workhorse that was going to be able to transform, you know, some tougher issues. So it's very good also for melasma. And then we have for what we call like sort of spot treatments. And we actually, so we have the doodads, which are a pure essential oil blend. They're uncut with anything. And what you're using that just by the drop, because some areas need that real special attention, like a zit or a cut or a little rash or the melasma spot. They can be further diluted, but sometimes you just need that really potent drop to do it. And they're made in a way, they're very potent, but for the general population, it's fine because they're made with oils that are okay neat on the skin. For most people, it's always good to do a patch test and see how your specific skin is. But those are little really powerful medicinal treatments. And then we have now, because they're so popular, we've also ozonated them.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
Yeah.
And on a side note, what do you have to say for the naysayer? Because I've seen people who are like, oh my God, you should never use essential oils directly on the skin, which clearly, I mean, at this point, I'm like, I literally only pretty much use your product, which is so heavily effective because of essential oils. What do you have to say on that really quickly?
Well, on one level, I kind of agree with the caveat because most essential oils are not authentic. And so, don't put those on your skin undiluted. Don't even put them on your skin.
You're talking about the like drug, the regular go to the health food store and what you
find. It can
there.
Be
it's usually cut.
Yeah, it's so it's such a it's a, even an organic essential oil could be not authentic. There's so many ways to fold, refractionate, adulterate, add additives. It's pretty huge, and it's been going on for a while. The very use of very pure essential oils is rare. Also, some people could be making blends and skincares or using oils, but not know they're not real. So it's not always, even that maker of that skincare may not know that that's just a shitty essential oil, if you excuse my language.
Yeah, that they're not accessing yet, the purity.
So I've been working with my distillers for over 25 years. It's been a long, lifelong project. So really know who they are and what they're doing. And because this has been an issue with essential oils, I mean, since before even my time. And because most of them are made for the food and flavor and perfume industry. So they'll take something original and then, you know, do a lot of stuff with it. It's very complicated. So we do third-party lab testing and have put up the tests by each essential oil on our site. So there's that. But also, okay, let's just talk about real essential oils. Generally, they're very potent. So you just want to be using them by the drop. There's a huge chunk of essential oils that you don't want to be using on your skin. Like let's say there's about 100 common essential oils. I'd say about half those aren't necessarily great for topical without dilution, but about 50% are. And obviously, we know what we're doing when it comes to making something undiluted. It doesn't mean one out of 1,000 people won't even react. You know, they may even react to lavender on their skin. But there's essentially,
oh, totally.
You know, like frankincense, tea tree, lavender, immortelle, rose, you know, all those ones that are good for the skin are not generally skin irritants. And there are times when we want to use them undiluted, like a cut. Put a drop of peppermint on a spider bite, a mosquito bite, you know, or an
I do lavender straight for bites. It instantly takes it out.
Or for scars, old or new, especially like a new one, if you've just had something where the skin's been open, then that's where you want to use pure essential oils until the skin literally sutures itself back up. Then that's when you would move to a soothsayer. So you're getting a bit of lube with those essential oils because then the oil's going to start healing it. But in those that initial phase when the skin's open, you want to seal it and heal it and keep it clean. And all the essential oils are antifungal, antibacterial, antiviral. So you're really keeping it clean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think traditionally now, I think it's been years that if I get a cut, let's say on my finger, say I cut myself with a knife, I instantly put cinnamon to stop the bleeding. Then I rinse and put the essential oils for the antibacterial and to also help with the inflammation, the scarring, the everything. And then eventually I'll start to close it up if it needs it, but I let it breathe for a bit. I mean, I just am such a firm believer in the power of botanics. Plus it's been the original form of medicine of all time, you know,
totally. And beauty. Yes. And you can even put that in the sun, right? The sun's a good
thing. Yeah, in the sun, exactly. Equally as antibacterial healing. I mean, I love the story that I heard you say of when you first had your son and, you know, healing his little umbilical cord spot in his belly button. I think you guys put a dab of tea tree and stuck him in the sun and it healed faster for your midwife than she had ever seen.
Yeah, the next day. She left. She said, okay, keep it clean. We're like, okay. And then she came back the next day. She's like, how did it totally heal? And one night we're like, well, you said to keep it clean.
I love that story. And it's empowering individuals. I love that. I think it's beautiful and it's the oldest medicine. Now, if I'm honest, I think I selfishly wanted to talk to you so much today after reading your book on dentistry that I've had a personal tooth issue for so long. And I've, you know, since started doing, I feel like I'm your walking billboard. I'm just like, do everything from Living Libations. And I don't feel that way about many things. So it's such a gift to have you around. But I did start doing your incredible 8-step, you know, dental routine, which everybody can find on YouTube. You can find in her book, you can find on the site. And, you know, I've been using that model. And at some point, because I have insulin issues and pancreatic issues, that I wanted to have two of my top back left molars looked at because they've just been such an issue to the point where, you know, allopathic dentistry, I ended up having crowns a couple of years ago and still bacteria was getting in after I would eat. And so I went to a biological dentist here and he did the whole thing. He was like, he opened it up and he, you know, he was very much in practice with the way that you suggest sussing out a dentist. And he used ozone. It was a very clean process. But now it's at the point where he's like, I think, you know, we've really tried to heal this, but it looks like you need to go to an endodontist to see if you have a root canal. And clearly through your work, I've been incredibly hesitant to have the two have a root canal. So I'm right where I'm at today. I'm like, I want to talk to Nadine before I go and see the endodontist to get a little bit more information. You know, for any listener who's in this position, if a root canal is suggested, is there a form of it that exists now in holistic dental care, biological dental care that we can look at? Or in my heart, it's just caused me so much pain that I'm like, I should have them extracted and eventually, you know, out of vanity, what would be the best solution to put something there in place as, you know, a replacement.
And so
and that's the true selfishness of my call.
That's okay. These are your back molars?
These are my two top left back molars after I did end up having my my wisdom teeth pulled. So it would be the two after that. And that was so long ago as well, which is an issue.
Okay. So, you know, generally, obviously, I'm not a dentist and this, but this is, you know, what I would do. So it's interesting that you went to a biological dentist and they're still suggesting a root canal because...
I know. That's where I was like, how do I trust you?
In my book... No dentist that is truly got it going on ever does a root canal. ever.
Right.
So I feel like
it's absolutely not. And that's how I feel after your research.
Yes.
And do you want to explain that as well?
Totally will. So also I feel like, there's a lot of dentists are moving forward. A lot of dentists will remove mercury. A lot of dentists say they're holistic, but you have to keep going further. Like I'm really asking them in the holistic book and on our website, I have articles on like what to ask prospective dentists because,
And they're great. You're like, is your water filtered? What do you think about that? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think I've got the question like, is there ever a circumstance where you do a root canal? Because the answer should be no. No, it just should. So my favorite dentist who I was always the favorite in my heart and mind. And then I actually got to go have dental work done with him last
year. He's the one in Texas.
Yeah. And I got to say, he is the best. So that's Dr. Stuart Nunnally in Texas. And they're set up for people from coming all over the world. Because again, I was coming from Canada. People think that's crazy. But I, from all that I know, I couldn't. I was about 5 years. I had to probably go to the dentist about 5 years before that. But I was just like, I can't. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time to get to see him. And with all that I know, there is no way I could open my mouth for anything other than going to like a top expert like him. So he's also done the research and the studies, which I have in my book on root canals and the myth of them. And that they just, there is no way with any even, like there are some people that I forget, they're filling it with different things and everything, but there's no way that it can ever be done properly. And we have 300 meters of tubes in our tooth. So there's no way that can ever be sterilized at all.
Absolutely.
So, So
my heart says too. So
you can't do it because what they become is the severe necrotic bacteria that harbors in your body and becomes, a platform for some other autoimmune issue or some other disease like 20, 30, 10 years down the road, even months later. So Dr. Stuart not only obviously used to do root canals, but then like his secretary, couldn't use her arm after a week or another person like kind of went blind in one eye because it was all related and there's stuff that, doesn't necessarily happen right away, but it happens like soon after or years later. And there's even a doctor in Europe who's been treating cancer patients for decades. And if they have a root canal, he is sure to have it removed before they start therapy. 99% of, or 90, could be less, could be 93% of all women that have breast cancer have a root canal on the same side. So it doesn't mean it's going to create, mean it's creating breast cancer. It's just, causation and correlation are different, but there's a connection and the health of our mouth is key to the health of our body. So your options, they sound like they may need to be removed because they're sort of taking down your immune system anyway.
Oh, completely. I mean, I've had to be on ibuprofen. I'm exhausted because my body's just focused on that nerve system.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
Well, I was holding on to a tooth. So 15 years ago, I had my second back molar, had to have a cavity filled. And she said it was a holistic dentist at the time. She's like, ooh, that was so close. It could have been a root canal candidate, but see how it goes. Then after I had Leaf, that kind of stuff, it was acting up again because definitely pregnancy can be a challenge on your teeth.
It steals all your minerals. Yes,
you're giving them all away. And so it acted up a bit. I didn't eat grains for a long time, but then I did go back to them. But then I was like, oh yeah, can't eat gluten. Didn't really realize that. So I hadn't eaten any gluten now in about 6 years. But when I stopped eating gluten, it totally went away. The little irritations it would get, if I ate something, I could feel it, like the gum above it sort of act up and all that. But it finally went away and it really wasn't on my radar, even though I was pretty sure the tooth actually wasn't even alive anymore. So it wasn't a root canal, but I was just walking around with my own not alive tooth waiting to get to Texas. And, so I was holding on that one too long because the warning signs I'd taken care of. So thank God I got it out because actually it had created a hole in my sinus floor, which I wasn't aware of. Yeah, so just weird things that are going on that you don't know. So I got that out. So if you're getting a molar removed, you have to make sure you're going to a dentist that will also remove the periodontal ligament, which is not standard protocol. But that needs to be done so that you don't have a cavitation, which is basically a jaw cavity, decades later. So anybody that's had a wisdom tooth removed probably you have underneath that in the jawbone cavity starting. It's in
which is another form of just bacterial infection,
exactly.
Right, essentially,
and bringing your whole immune system down without you even knowing it. It doesn't even show up in an X-ray until it's 80% like eroded.
Wow. Like most things,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, most things. So I also wanted to get those checked when I went to Dr. Nunnally, and that's really easy. It sounds gross, but the tooth's already gone. They open it up, see if there's bacteria there, and then they scrape the bone, allow a blood clot to come, clean out the area, and then inject it with ozone and then PRP, which is your own, which is great if you have a dentist that does that as well. So they take out your blood and they separate the plasma, then they inject it back in, and then that helps all your own stem cells and your own healing nutrients to come to that area and regenerate it. So, you know, Ron and I are healthy, but we had wisdom teeth removed when we were around 20, and we had the beginnings of jaw cavitation, so we got those all cleaned out. So you definitely, at some point, everybody, we have to find the dentist that will help us reverse some of the work that we've done.
Especially things like mercury, cavity fillings and all that. In the responsible way.
Yeah. And that as soon as I heard about that when I was 22, because that's when I really started thinking about my teeth on this new holistic level. So I got all that removed. And when I first met Ron, we got all his mercury removed, but then this is like this deeper work. So yeah. I'm without a molar there now. And from all the research I've done, you can actually just leave it. It doesn't need a temporary tooth or a bridge or anything like that. If it's a front tooth, you know, that's a harder situation, because when you have a bridge, it's less invasive, but then they have to shave away healthy parts of the teeth on either side. And then you have the option of an implant, which all these things are foreign objects and are going to take a toll on your immune system. But the cleanest option, well, there's only really two right now. One is a titanium rod, which is a no, and that's your normal dentist will have that. And then mm-hmm. a specialized dentist will have a zirconium, which is that like kind of a crystalline structure, a zirconium rod, which is, you know, again, it is a foreign object in your body, but they've been using it for about 30 years in Europe and the track record's really good. But I think
okay, so if you do go super vain, that's an option.
That's an option. But really, like, mine's my, so I had a wisdom tooth, and I've got one tooth hanging out all by itself, and then I've got the space. And it's
I would essentially have three missing right there.
Yeah, I still think, though, I mean, you can't see. So I've got from the second, it's basically the second tooth is gone, and you can't see it.
Oh, great.
And Ron's got that too, because 5 years ago he got his titanium rod taken out.
Ah, good for him.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh my God. And there was a picture of it. It's great. But, like, you know, and that was done when he was a teenager in school. They're like, here or whatever. And then, like, they had it. It's so gnarly.
So gnarly, the tooth, and it matters. I mean, based on your research and your book, and I've obviously looked into it all so much deeper with this current situation, your mouth and, you know, more importantly, your mouth microbiome really does mean everything for the rest of the health of your
body. It really does. And I highly
recommend, it's like a gateway.
If you can fly to Texas, it's worth it. The care there, I was just blown away by the knowledge. He has all the latest, and you know they've thought about the cleanest methods, because, you know, there are moments where we have to, or it was just weird for me to even have a part of my body removed, right? Like, I'm just so into not poking around. And so the whole experience was, you know, unusual for me. But the care, oh my God, they just, you know, from, it's a simple place, but everybody's so positive. And then it would be like, and we had like, because there was a whole family, like Ron Leaf and I were doing all that. We had about 21 dental appointments in 3 days.
Wow.
Where, you know.
That was a trip.
Yeah, but they do it. They do a conscious sedation. They do all the work really quickly. So you can get, you know, years of work done in like a few hours. And then they like wrap you in warm blankets. We got like a blueberry smoothie when I couldn't chew food. I had vitamin C.
Wow.
IVs. I had a woman doing sort of cranial Traeger therapy. She prepared me before the extraction, and then the day of, and then the day after. And it was just phenomenal.
Wow. I'm definitely going to look into that, because at this point I feel so stuck, and this already makes me feel supported. And like, there's an option.
For
sure. I'm so grateful
for that. They'll guide you through the right, you know what I mean? It's just, because you always want to be informed, but I mean, when you go there, you don't have to be hyper informed, because they're
already
at that level.
the top. I love that, the top standard.
Yeah.
I love it when you can just trust and lean into that.
Yeah.
And also, what do you feel is the messaging? And especially, obviously, your work centers around women, but it, you know, a lot of products are inclusive to men. What do you think are the most important things that you are kind of geeked out about right now that are new that you really feel people should know about?
Oh, fun. Well, I mean, it's not new, but I just like the Beskin ever. It's such a foundational place to start. So you can like, you know, really have a new relationship with your skin and taking care of your skin. We've got a new honey, Royal Rose honey mask, which I'm loving, which you can use as...
I think I might have gotten that as a tester and I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, it's so fun. You can use it as just sort of like a daily scrub, or you can just mix a bit with water and leave it on your face for, you know, 5 minutes or half an hour. It's really lovely. And all our Poetic Pits now have crystal balls instead of for the roll-on.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of fun. Hopefully they're all at the store by now. But yeah, we've got rose quartz and adventurine roller balls now instead of plastic.
Awesome. So that's amazing.
Really exciting. I guess what's really new is just where we're making everything. So we finally, we had a fire about 5 years ago, and we've been in another place as we've been rebuilding, and our new headquarters was finished in May, and then we moved. It took about a month to move so we could still be operational. And now we have our most beautiful facility. It's gorgeous, and it's such a great place to work. We have like a little room for decanting oils, and we have the Poetic Pits room. So, you know, we have the whole floor is designed from the drop of oil in the alchemy room, and then all the way down the hall to like it goes out for shipping. And then we have a fun floor on top where we have a yoga room and a dining hall.
Wow.
It's just great to finally be there.
Oh, amazing. And what are your spiritual practices and kind of like health practices, eating practices, workout, just the general stuff that people would be curious about to stay fit, to stay in balance? Because I've heard them before, and they're very lovely and non-invasive and minimal, just like in nature.
Yeah, I generally, for whatever reason, I have a very gentle relationship with my body. You know, so when I'm moving around, it's kind of gentle too. So I, you know, a lot too is like really the whole book. It is all that. Like it was like I just as much as I could possibly give and download from my mind is in that book. So if you want the whole picture and all the little nuggets. But yeah, I wish it was summer here all the time because I absolutely adore swimming in our lake. It's a spring-fed lake, and I just had a swim before I got on the call. That's my all-time favorite, but it's only kind of May till end of September. Mm-hmm. And then walking is great. We have stand-up paddle boards, or pedal boards are a bit different. So that's like walking on the water, which is really fun. And Kundalini yoga, mm-hmm, and meditation, and, you know, taking time to contemplate, sort of like not quite meditation, but a little bit more awake than that, but still not quite. You know, that's sort of like in that meditative, creative state. That's where I'll dream and think and create new products and just do that in the stillness before I bring them into like a manifest reality.
I love that. I love that. And what has been the biggest thing you've manifested in your life, or the most kismet or meaningful?
The most meaningful would be our son, Leaf.
And did you guys, you guys obviously were very conscious about that process, I imagine.
Well, you know, since when I was about 20, when I was at university, I was doing my degree, and I did a project on midwifery. And also we were even reading like Our Bodies, Ourselves and stuff. So I did some health essays and stuff too. So from that moment, I was like, oh yeah, midwives, like I really get it now. So I was like, that moment was like, well, I'm not having a baby yet, but right now I'm going to prepare my body and treat it like, so it was, you know, from 18 on, I never ate processed food. I only ate organic. I've definitely gone into different phases of categories of food that I'm eating, but I always, you know, some things are staples, like, you know, it's always organic. It's not going to be processed and that kind of stuff. So that's very important. And to me, that was sort of the beginning of creating my child, even though it was about a decade later till it actually happened.
I love it.
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, it's been so beautiful. And I eventually want to have you back on to talk more about manifestation and your process and expansion. But I just felt like this information is so important. It's been so helpful for me, so pressing, so against the grain that I couldn't wait to share this. So I can't thank you enough for taking the call and just getting a lot of this information out. Where can we find your store, both of your books, the website, ordering if we're not in Los Angeles? Give us the full rundown.
For sure. Well, we have our website, which is livinglibations.com, and we're just a few weeks away from relaunching the new site. So that's really exciting. And if you want to sign up for our newsletters, that's also when we talk about you'll be notified when we have free shipping and different specials and new products that are coming out. And then we have our actual physical store in Venice Beach, California. So it's not too far from you.
That's
our little beauty boutique. And then, I mean, if you don't want to do mail order, then you can email us. There's lots of resellers and that kind of stuff around. And then social media, you know, we got Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all the regulars.
Excellent. And you have to read both of her books. I think my friend, Jenna Zoe, she's my human design reader. We both love all the information so much that once we saw that you had Renegade Beauty coming out, I think we pre-ordered on the spot. Oh. We were so excited. So I can't recommend them enough. And the product, obviously, I live and die by now. So thank you so much, Nadine. I hope you guys have such a beautiful summer day. And I look forward to talking again in the future.
Yeah, that was really fun. I'll be in LA in February, so maybe we can do a face-to-face one.
Oh, it would be so great. And we should just get together. Sheba's a good friend. I know you guys are close. Yeah. It would be so wonderful to connect and share more information and goodies.
That would be lovely. Yes, that would be totally lovely.
Well, have a beautiful day and thank you again.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining today. And if today's episode piqued your curiosity about manifestation, head over to freeandnative.com and click on Start Here, where you'll find a video of me giving you all of my recommendations of how to navigate manifestation from here on out. And again, if you liked it, please comment below, review, and share with a fellow manifester. And if you're looking for the like-minded community that you might be manifesting, head over to our Facebook group called The Secret Society. You can find that on our homepage, and make sure to sign up for our newsletter where we send out new manifestation content and how to digest it and put it into practice twice a month. Have a beautiful day.